previously on Not Your Mother's Archie. And then next season, I think there's going to be 40 episodes, and then I think they're just going to increase episodes. Just
there's only 52 weeks in a year.
This week, Jughead versus Archie, Betty versus Veronica, and a first grade teacher's small drug empire. This is Not Your Mother's Archie. Hi, and welcome to Not Your Mother's Archie, the Mom and Son Riverdale Review Podcast. I'm Jimmy in New York, and with me, as always, is my co-host, resident Archie expert and mom, Janet in California. Hi, Mom. How's it going?
Hi, Jimmy. I'm fine. How's it going for you?
It's very good. We had a little bit of a storm on Wednesday, but it's sort of clearing up, as I said to you already, you know?
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I guess it's over here now, which we're happy because it's raining cats and dogs here in California, which we desperately need.
You still need?
I was cracking up because the people in California, some of them are complaining. I'm like, get out of town. We need reservoirs to get filled up and such. And
yeah.
You know.
You're just taking all your plastic bags and just filling them with water outside your house?
Oh my gosh, your father, you know, he's got this new system I think I told you about where he, I don't know, some kind of drainage system and it drains into garbage cans when it rains. And he loves this thing. He keeps buying garbage cans. He has 8 garbage cans filled with water right now.
Just, that is where, that, the house is just filled with garbage cans full of water.
That is correct. We do no longer have clutter. We just have garbage cans filled with water.
Great. You can sit on one of the garbage cans. It's fine. We don't have a couch anymore, but yeah, go sit on the garbage can, you know, if you need something.
Well, no, first you have to take the garbage can and flush the toilet with that water, and then you can take it back and then go sit on the garbage can. That's how it works.
There you go. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I love a good multidimensional house.
Yeah, well, you know, your father's Mr. Science.
That he is. Wait, yep. So, this week, we watched Chapter 29, Episode 216, entitled Primary Colors. And I feel, disagree with me if you want, I feel that we were not disappointed in things picking up and happening. And I feel that even that they took what happened last week and then improved upon the plot, the drive, and the insanity.
I totally agree with you. I think they are listening to us. The writers have a direct phone line with me. And they're really doing well with this now.
Yeah. That things are ramping up, and I love it. Let's do what we always do. We'll do a quick synopsis, we'll do a quick title inspiration, and then we'll dig in. So, Chapter 29, Primary Colors, from the Riverdale Wiki, the synopsis is as follows. A house divided. In the aftermath of Hiram's newly announced plans for Riverdale, Jughead resorts to drastic measures to voice his opposition. After making her own big announcement, Hermione's friend Andy Cohen comes to town to lend a hand. Meanwhile, Veronica goes against her parents' wishes to keep a low profile when she decides to run for student council president. Elsewhere, Mary arrives in Riverdale just as tensions between Fred and Archie reach a breaking point. Finally, following a series of mysterious events, Cheryl begins to fear that someone is out to get her. So, what I wrote at the end of this episode was JVA, Jughead versus Archie, BVV, Betty versus Veronica, the Andrews versus the Lodges, and the Blossoms versus the Blossoms.
Yeah, it definitely is not my mother's Archie or me or my Archie.
There were a few things we'll talk about right after we say that the title inspiration is Primary Colors, is a 1998 film based on the novel Primary Colors, a novel of politics, about Bill Clinton's first presidential campaign in 1992. It was directed by Mike Nichols, it starred John Travolta, Emma Thompson, Billy Bob Thornton, Kathy Bates, Maura Tierney, Larry Hagman, and Adrian Lester.
Wow, those are some good actors.
Yeah. I remember, I never saw this, but I remember this was, like, in the zeitgeist of films at the time. And this was also a time when they had a lot of presidential films, like An American President or Dave, of which both of those I mistook one for the other.
Mm-hmm.
Probably also because I was like, what, who's the guy in An American President? He's an Ant-Man, he's married to Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Oh yeah, that guy.
Mike Douglas?
Yeah, Douglas.
Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas.
Kirk. Is it Kirk?
Kirk is his father.
Michael Douglas.
Yeah, Kirk is his father. Though him and Kevin Kline look very similar, so I'm always just like, which movie is this? Which is the body swapping movie, the Prince and the Pauper film, where some normal like, everyday guy becomes the president? That's Dave. And then I don't know what American President is about. It's him falling
That's
in love.
Funny.
Yeah. Did you see Primary Colors?
I don't believe so. All I could think of was being a kindergarten teacher. What are the primary colors? Red, yellow, blue.
There you go. So the end of the episode, everybody is divided and at each other's throats. Jughead versus Archie, Betty versus Veronica, Andrews versus the Lodges, and the Blossoms versus the Blossoms. Now, you said it's not your mother's Archie, but there were a few things that I think are very close. One, I think Veronica is turning into the Veronica we know from the comics.
Possibly. She is daddy's girl. I'll give you that one.
She's daddy's girl, but she's also sort of like, you know, making deals and underhanded. And she's not the perfect righteous person that we got to know in season one.
That's very true. And also, she has Archie Andrews panting after her for everything. So that's kind of how he is in the comics as well.
Definitely. Yeah. Do you think that Archie is doing everything that he's doing and sort of like, you know, aligning himself with this family and with maybe these ideals that he might not believe in because he's actually understands the Lodge's side and believes in them? Or is it all for Veronica? Because he's panting for that sweet kiss.
I think it's a little bit of both. So sincerely, it might have just started out because he liked, or as he puts it, loves Veronica. But now I think he's really hooked up with Hiram and really believes in his philosophy. I'm kind of proud of Archie though, because he does speak up. He does go speak up to Hiram.
That's true. You cannot do that with other crime bosses.
No.
You know? You couldn't go up to Don Corleone on any day but the day of his, you know, daughter's wedding and be like, hey, I'm gonna do something for you. You know, I'll kill this guy. But first, I need you to do something for me.
Yeah, exactly.
You wouldn't go up to Joe Pesci from Goodfellas and be like, hey, I'll do this for you, but I need you to do something for me. He'd smash your face into the bar.
But, you know, Mr. Lodge said that he'll erase everything from, tear up the contract with with Fred Andrews. However, maybe next week Fred Andrews will find a horse head in his bed.
Maybe, especially now that Fred Andrews is running for mayor.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Against Hermione.
Yeah. Do you think that they're going to use any of their sexual romantic past against them?
Who would do that?
I don't know. Maybe her, the Hermiones against Fred.
Possibly, because Hermione is dishonest. Whatever Fred does, he's going to do it the honest way. He's not going to bring anything bad into the picture. He'll do everything honestly. But Hermione, she'll do whatever she needs to do. She's cutthroat.
Yeah. I never really understood slander politics. Dirty politics.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I guess it's effective, but I thought it was always like the more right. Wouldn't I want to vote for somebody who's out there trying to just promote themselves instead of trying to debase somebody else? I actually think if it's a negative, if somebody's like, you know, vote for me, this guy's the worst.
Oh, that's true. I never thought of it that way. Hermione's got a way that she can wrap people around her finger, and she can make people think she's someone that she really isn't. And Fred is just the honest Joe. I would love for Fred Andrews to win, because if Fred Andrews wins, he could bring Riverdale back to what I want Riverdale to be, you know?
Friends, we're going to go back to a 1950s idea of Riverdale and Americana.
Right. And it's going to be in black and white. You know that show, that movie where it was all in black and white?
Pleasantville?
Yeah. It's going to become black and white.
But Mom, did you watch the end of Pleasantville? It all turns to color as they, like, discover themselves and that everything isn't so perfect. They, like, reach the boundaries beyond their, like, perfect little idyllic state, and the television show becomes, or the world becomes colorful as they learn to love and accept and blah, 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 blah.
Well, remember, I want my little Riverdale to be, like, all perfect and cutesy, so I don't care. It could be black and white.
But it's the story wasn't the moral of the story was that black and white wasn't perfect. That, you know, there were.
Okay. Okay, we can agree to disagree on that one.
I didn't watch the end of Pleasantville. You know what?
Did watch it. I watched it several times. I like that movie a lot.
But you only like the first, like, half of it. And then when things start to change, you're like, nope.
Except it's kind of weird that I want that. It's kind of weird that I want that idealistic society, because I'm so, you know, women's rights and all that kind of stuff. And if you live in that little 50s model, it's all, you know,
well, I think,
world.
Right. Well, I think you want, like, the best parts of it and not, you know, I think when people, like, say, oh, I'd love to go back to the 40s and the fedoras, you know, and jazz and Frank Sinatra, I don't think they also go and Japanese internment camps and, discrimination and, you know, and men above women. You know, I think we romanticize certain times, and we just take those moments out, the bad parts about it.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah, you're right.
So I see your point. You know.
Mm-hmm.
And I always when I saw whatever you talk about, like the 50s or this idyllic perfect, you know, I also thought in my mind that it was also very, like, inclusive and, you know, equality-bound place as well. It wasn't, like, because to me, and I think to you too, that's perfect. And that's idyllic.
Yeah, I want everyone to have equal rights. That's really important to me. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very important. Well, I'm really hoping Fred Andrews wins, because Fred Andrews lives by a code, as I do it too, and I want him to be the next mayor of Riverdale.
I hope so. I think so. But I think because of how crazy this show is, and is getting, Hermione is going to win, and then everything's just going to go to shit.
Oh. Yeah, it for the show, it's probably going to happen for the show. In my mind, he'll win.
Yeah. While we're still on Fred, at the end, we find that Mary's going to stick around. And
yay!
Yay, and we find Molly Ringwald once more. And when she came back into the picture, I went, Mom, this is Archie's mother. This might not be your mother's Archie, but this is Archie's mother.
She's so perfect for Archie's mother.
She's so perfect for Archie's mother.
Oh my God, and I was so proud of her for ripping into him.
Oh yes. Well, that's so funny because they are legally separated. I don't know if they're like fully divorced. They're legally separated.
I know.
And I just go in my mind, like, why aren't they together? Because she cares so much about him. She puts him in such high regard. But as I'm saying this, I'm guessing it's because she got that job offer in Chicago.
I think that Riverdale's too small of a town for her as a lawyer.
Yeah.
She's more advanced than that, and she needs to, you know, strut her stuff in a larger town. But hopefully she'll stay here, and she'll work on Fred's campaign, and she'll help him with the law issues, etc., and she'll be there.
Yeah.
I would like that.
I think when they said that once his contract was up and all ties were free, I thought that they were going to, he was going to leave. He's like, we're moving to Chicago to be with your mom. You know, which would have been some complications. But I do like this one. I do like this mayor thing.
Yeah, I'm excited. And how come, you know, like with the student body presidents, they announce who their running mate is, but with the mayor, they don't have a running mate again. Because they don't have a vice mayor.
Probably because there's not enough adult characters. You know? Speaking of that, let's talk about the Veronica campaign.
Yeah. Veronica. Oh my gosh. What did you think about that?
I understood where she was going for with the idea of, like, needing, not being able to, like, just take it a ball on the chin, but I thought, I don't know, I felt weird. On the one hand, I'm like, just make a low profile, you know, but on the other hand, I was like, everybody is slandering you, and how, you're so strong to just, like, take it.
Yeah, but if she is true logic and listens to what her father and mother say, she should have kept a low profile.
But she's not, like, but she's not keeping a low profile. She's
right.
It's my problem with this from the get-go is that everybody is blaming Veronica for, and the entire show is like that. Everybody blames the children for the mistakes and the choices of the parents.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah. You know.
That's true. I was cracking up about her campaign. Cupcakes from Magnolia Cupcakes in New York and kisses. I'm sure Archie's loving it. She's just sitting there giving everybody kisses. And is there really Magnolia Cupcakes in New York?
Yeah. Oh, it's a very famous bakery, yeah.
Next time I visit you.
We'll go.
We're gonna go there. Okay.
We'll go.
It's probably like $20 a cupcake or something.
It's not $20 a cupcake. It's insane.
My whole budget is gonna be spent on cupcakes.
Cupcakes and Shake Shack.
Oh, yeah, we gotta get some shakes, because, you know, that, speaking of shakes, Ethel Muggs.
Oh, my goodness. That came out of nowhere.
Wow. That was amazing. What I thought was really cool is that Josie gave her endorsement, but really was just pulling her leg.
Yeah.
And gave Ethel all that information.
That's so cool. What I like about that, because I was thinking, I thought about it afterwards, and I was like, why would she do that? She's gonna lose the Watch What Happens Live guest spot with Andy Cohen. And I went, no, she's not, because Veronica doesn't know that it was Josie who gave Ethel the information.
That's right.
So Josie got, she got to have her cake and eat it too. She got to have her Magnolia cupcake and eat it too.
I was cracking up. Andy Cohen.
Andy Cohen?
Andy Cohen.
Okay, sure. Also, that felt like a dream to me, that like little sequence of like, and we also have Andy Cohen here for this newspaper interview. Oh, and a dragon just showed up.
It was totally out of the blue.
Yeah.
Here's Andy Cohen coming out of the dining room. Here he is.
Yeah, it's like, it's not like it was a televised interview. It was an interview for a paper.
Now, Hal Cooper was doing the interview, correct?
Yeah.
So he's still the editor of this newspaper, even though the Lodges own it?
Yeah, I guess so. Just like Pop still runs the diner, even though they own it.
Wow.
Can I say something while we're still on the campaign trail?
Yeah.
I wrote, I don't know what happened, I was just like thinking about old episodes during the commercial break, one commercial break, and I wrote down, aren't you glad they ditched this music thing? We haven't seen it all in second season. And then the next scene that I saw was Josie's endorsement, and they sing a song. And I just wrote, damn it.
But you know, but the one thing is, they didn't sing for very long, though.
No.
Like, sometimes they sing these long songs, and sometimes they have more than one song in an episode, and they didn't.
Ugh.
I would have liked to have really seen what those handouts look like. I saw them, but I couldn't read everything that she said about her.
Oh, yeah. The only thing that I saw that I read was that Veronica knew about the prison deal.
Right. I read that.
Yeah. That was the only one. I don't know. What, I mean, it's probably like she's got stinky butt breath. And
you are so weird.
She, you know.
So now, speaking of campaign trail, Jughead and Betty are going to run together, correct?
Yes. Yes.
And Reggie Mantle is still in the running as well.
I guess, sure. Whatever. He's fine.
Poor Reggie. They don't do much with Reggie.
They don't do much with Reggie. I mean, are you worried that it's because they're going to switch out a different Reggie every season? And that'd be fun. And just have, like, different people. And, like, get a woman Reggie next season. Just like Doctor Who. It's just like Doctor Who. You know? He regenerates every season, becomes something new. I heard that Peter Capaldi, the 12th Doctor, is going to be Reggie next season, actually.
Well, you know, Veronica punched Reggie, right?
She did.
She didn't get any repercussions. Like, she didn't get suspended. She didn't, nothing.
I guess. Yeah.
Well, Ethel didn't get in trouble either for pouring milkshake on Veronica.
Yeah, nobody gets in trouble for anything in school. Right?
If they were in my class, they'd be like, you are in trouble.
If they were in your class, they would be little kids, they'd be in first grade, and hold off on this, I want to see that show. I want to see a dark Riverdale with little kids.
And I would be the Mrs. Weatherby, not the Mr. Weatherby.
Yeah, you'd be Mrs. Weatherby. Oh, and you'd be cracked
Mrs.
down.
Mrs. Weatherby, yes.
And you'd also have a drug ring in your class. It's all, you're the chalk dust is cocaine.
I love it. nowadays, though, because we don't use chalk anymore in the classrooms.
What are you are you talking or romantically fantasizing about pushing drugs in school through schools because of and the difficulties of it now because there's no chalk? Oh, in my day, it was so easy to have a side business as a Colombian drug lord. You know?
Well, now you got those Expo pens. Remember how they used to stink? So then everybody'd get high on those Expo pens.
Yeah. So, oh, that is another revenue.
They don't stink anymore.
That's another revenue.
So that was like vaping or whatever that thing is called that people do. We call it sniffing.
Huffing?
I don't know.
Or vaping? Are you talking about vaping, which is...
No, I was just talking about... If you smelled the Expo pens and got high, I was making a... I don't know what I was doing.
I don't know. Is it sniffing or huffing? Other things are huffing.
It's dumb.
But I did love smelling those sweet, sweet... you know that they... I think that those colored, those scented markers got people... Were the gateway to huffing.
I totally agree with you.
Could you smell them?
Well, you know, the only reason I became a teacher in the 70s is because I could smell Ditto fluid on the Dittos. Do you remember that?
What is... No, I don't think I do.
Oh, okay, because you're young. Well, we used to use these machines that had this ink that would go through. And actually, when I first started, I used to have to crank the machine to make the papers go through with the ink. And when it was fresh... It smelled really strong, and it was, like, kind of warm and strong, and the kids would, like, we would take it, and we would sniff it, huff it, yeah.
You were so pushing drugs in your classrooms.
Well, yeah, and we used to use those markers that were really, really smelly. I mean, permanent markers, but they were really smelly, and we used to use rubber cement that was really, you could get high on everything in that.
Mrs. Robertson is doing a lot of parent-teacher conferences. She does it, like, almost every day. You know, parents are coming in. And there are some parents that come in and have a parent-teacher conference, and they don't even have a kid in the class. That's so interesting.
You're so silly. Let's move on.
Okay. Do you want to talk about Betty versus Chick? You want to talk about Chick? The first thing that we see this episode is Chick's DNA test. We go right back to it. They don't leave us hanging. And we realize that even though he doesn't have any Blossom blood in him, he does have, he is still Alice's son. Because Alice had him with another man.
But what I'm wondering is, do you think he really is Alice's son, or just Alice wants him to be his son, her son? She did have a child, though.
She did have a child, yes. And it is funny that Betty is calling Chick out as an imposter, because it was Betty who found Chick in the first place.
That's right, you're right. You're right, it's probably, she probably is his mother. But I'm thinking FP is the father, but she doesn't want to admit to it.
I think so, too. That's immediately what I realized. Like, who is Chick's dad? FP. Duh. Boom.
I really don't like Chick. I want him gone.
Yeah.
I don't like him. He's messing up my little Betty Cooper.
Yeah. Oh, Betty Cooper's already messed up.
Gosh.
She
is.
When... They finally had that talk, and I loved that Alice had that talk with Betty, and she was like, I'm not blind, I see that he's damaged, you know, even though, you know, I know what he did a month ago, and I wrote down, what did Chick do? And then the next scene happened, and I wrote, oh, right, he murdered a man.
But he's no dummy. He said, I didn't touch the body, I didn't do this.
He's no dummy. And because of that, I'm scared. I'm scared of him. Because he's
just ruining that hookup.
He's playing an intricate game, and he's like already like two steps ahead.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Oh, I don't like him at all. And you're not supposed to like him.
No, you're not. So in the beginning of that episode, and when Alice tells that you know, she had him with another man, then they hug, and then Chick turns his head up to, like, say ha 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 to Betty, right? Do you remember that moment?
Oh yeah. He gave him that sly smile.
Right. My question is, and that happens a lot in shows, wouldn't the other person who's hugging or holding the person notice that? You know, like, your head moved. Why is your head moving? Are you?
No, I don't think so.
Are you? I think so. I think, though. What are you doing? We're having an intimate moment. Why are you looking straight and dead on at Betty right now? I thought we were having an intimate moment. Are you slyly?
So stupid.
Are you slyly looking? Are you? Why are you plotting revenge right now? We're having a tender moment.
You know, Betty's mom, Alice, she's gonna overlook as much as she possibly can with Chick.
And I thought that what she said today about knowing that he's damaged, I thought that was a step in the right direction, but it doesn't seem so. I don't know. I think they've taken a lot of power out of her. So she used to be so powerful, so devious. And now she's kind of just relegated to whatever Chick wants, Chick gets.
Yeah, but eventually FP's going to get in the triangle somehow. And there's going to be something happening.
Yeah. Speaking of FP, or the Joneses, Jughead is on a hunger strike?
He's drinking water at Pops. I'll have another water, please.
I'll have another water. I even looked when Betty came and brought him a thermos. I was like, is that coffee? Oh, that better not be coffee. And it wasn't. It was water.
Oh, that was so funny. When he was chained up at the school.
Yeah.
And his whole friends, you know, there were a lot of them that had been chained up. But eight of them. But then they all left because they didn't like the weather.
Because apparently you get to do that.
I brought hamburgers for all of them. And Jughead ate all 12 hamburgers.
FP had one.
Oh, he did?
FP had one,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, he did. I was wondering about that. Does FP have to pay for those hamburgers?
I'm certain that it might be, like, discounted or something.
Because I'm sure he doesn't get a lot of money working there.
No.
That was really nice of him.
Yeah, he's really turning into, like, a really good father figure.
Yeah. Guarding his son while he's chained to the school.
Is that sarcastic, Mom?
Yeah.
Yeah. Why would a father guard their son in the middle of the night while they're chained to a school?
No, but he had all his cronies standing out there when Archie came with the wrestling team. He had all his cronies out there guarding. But they didn't really do anything about it. Once they cut him up, they just let him be. Because I guess Jughead told him to, huh?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think they were more so there for adults.
Oh, I get it. Yeah. Keep the adults away.
Yeah.
You know, I really respect Jughead in the fact that he's true to his principles. And it's like, nope. Nobody else seems to care that this is happening to their town, and he really is trying to save what they had, but it doesn't seem like it's working for him right now.
I think slowly it is, you know. He definitely got the recognition of the town. I think Archie knew that he fought a losing battle by cutting him down, that in the short term it was right, like, He won that battle, but the war is losing because everybody sees Archie and those wrestlers as the bad guys, you know, especially because the serpents did nothing. They peacefully let it happen. And then two, Archie's losing his best friend.
I know, it's so sad. So sad. You know, and I was really surprised that Hiram didn't think this through. Because, like you said, in reality, by Archie cutting the chains with his wrestling team, it got more publicity than they would have gotten by them just sitting there in the rain with chains on.
Yeah.
Because all those people were taking videos, they're going to be on YouTube. It made Hiram, and not so much Hiram, but made, like you said, Archie look bad.
He made somebody else do his dirty work. Not a part of the Hirams, it was the wrestling team. You could make something to be like Serpents versus, you know, the wrestlers, that it had nothing to do with Hiram.
So Hiram, yeah, you're right. So he might have thought it through, because it has no blood on him.
Yep.
No blood on him.
What if, that sounds a lot like Chick. What if Hiram is Chick's father? Ooh.
I don't want that. Ew. I don't like Chick. Just like I didn't like the Black Hood, I don't like Chick.
I'm so glad that we brought back these staples of season one, which was music out of nowhere and, in large quotation marks, cheerleading. Because Tony Topaz, I think, is auditioning for the cheerleading, and she's literally just twerking and dancing sexily.
And she automatically got into the in-group, the inner circle, immediately.
Of course.
And then they had the mandatory slumber party, and it was cracking me up because I was looking at it. When I was their age and I'd go to slumber parties, first of all, we didn't sleep in beds. We all slept in sleeping bags on the floor. Secondly, we didn't wear sexy nightgowns. We wore flannel pajamas or onesies or something cute like that.
Yeah, and also, when I had slumber parties, we all played fun games and drink a lot of sodas and drinks and had a lot of fun. We didn't lazily and apathetically braid each other's and comb each other's hair and then turn around and say, "Hey, people in my house are trying to kill me." So I'm different. It's so different.
Well, you know, that's what I thought was really interesting is, why would Claudius and Penelope try to kill Nana Rose when they're having a slumber party?
That's true. It might be more witnesses. I don't know. Why did that come out of my mouth?
No, that could be true. It could be they had witnesses.
They had
They can't say, Cheryl just said, "Oh, well, they did it." Yeah.
Yeah. Or it could be that they could maybe pin it on anybody else or the slumber party or, you know. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it was really, I kind of knew something was happening when Claudius was talking about the special blend of tea that Penelope made for Nana Rose.
Of course.
And then Nana Rose falls down the stairs, and I actually had to rewind it because I thought she was dead.
I thought too. I wrote Nana, and as I was writing it, they made mention that she was fine, and I went, "Well, okay, woo."
I was so upset, but boy, they just took Cheryl and took her away.
Then that is the big thing of the end of this episode that freaked me out. We're doing a One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest thing. She's in a mental institution. And that's when, to me, Riverdale got good. Because they went full on cuckoo butts crazy.
Gosh. And there's Cheryl in her most innocent look, with her ponytails, her little pigtails up, and no makeup, and just looking so vulnerable that Sister Woodhouse was going to help her. And then she talks about the conversion.
Wasn't that insane?
I'm so scared for Cheryl, but I know they're not going to do anything bad to her. I just hope they don't.
They're not going to do anything bad to her, but it's so weird. It's so cool that they're going this crazy this fast. It's the second season, and we're putting people in mental institutions.
I think maybe Tony's going to find her.
Oh, yeah.
Help her.
Yeah. Again, I like this. I'm really enjoying Choni.
But I wanted them to kiss and they didn't get to.
They didn't get to kiss. Not yet. Not until she's...
Mother came in. Until she gets her out of the... And didn't she... Didn't Penelope say that she was in Switzerland or something like that?
Boarding school.
Yeah, but she's not. She's nearby, I bet, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, she'd probably be at Sister's Quiet Mercy or whatever.
Do you think she's at the same place?
In their mental ward.
Oh, wow. Where everyone... And actually, in reality, Chick was escaped from there.
Ooh. Chick, who has no father and is just a miraculous birth.
Oh gosh, no way.
And is the second coming of Christ and the apocalypse.
No, stop. No, he's the devil.
That'd be a good way to end Riverdale. The apocalypse.
Oh, but I'm so glad that Nana Rose is still alive.
This is so...
And I think that things will work out. I'm excited that they actually took the story and kept going with it. Instead of, okay, we watched this, now this week we watched this, and it's all totally different because the writer's been rolled the dice, you know? They're actually figuring this out.
Yeah, I'm so glad. I love it. We're ramping up to something. I hope that it is a debate with Andrews and Lodges. I hope it's the president. More mayoral campaign stuff.
Oh, it's totally going to be, and it's going to get worse, and Archie's going to be more and more against his own father. I have a feeling that Hiram's going to make Archie do something to help ruin Fred's campaign, and oh, goodness. Yep. Goodness.
Archie is... aligning himself with the wrong people, and he's alienating everyone in who he loves in the process.
Yeah. For one family.
For one family, yeah. And one sweet, sweet kiss and one sweet, sweet cupcake. All right, you got anything else?
Going there.
You got anything else before we wrap up, Mom?
Not really. I just was really, really liked this episode a lot. I was happy about this time.
Yeah. Me too.
What about you?
I loved this episode. This was good. And what I liked about this episode was it was jam-packed, but it didn't feel jam-packed. Like, last episode, like, so much happened, you know, that it was hard to process a little bit. It was fun. It was great, but it was a little hard to process. This one, it felt good. It's now like they're focusing on stuff, and I like that. I cannot wait for next week.
Me neither. I am really excited. I'm glad we're not having any more hiatuses. I just want to go forward.
Until next week, thank you all for listening. If you like us, please subscribe. Please share us on social media using the hashtag NYMAPod. That's NYMAPOD. And give us a review on iTunes. That would be lovely. Thank you. Mom, where can people find you on Twitter?
Tell me.
You can find Mom, you can find Janet at GMA, GMA underscore Robertson on Twitter. And you can find me at Jimmy underscore Robertson's.
And listeners out there, I need some more followers. I noticed I don't have that many followers on Twitter. I don't know my Twitter name, but I need more followers.
Yeah, follow her, you know, for Mom. She's fine.
Not saying much, but I'd love you to follow me, and then I'll follow you.
She's team follow back. So, all right. So you guys, you've got your marching orders from Mom. We'll see you next week. Same back time, same bat channel. And until then, my mom and I might not agree on everything, but there's at least one thing we can agree on. This is not your mother's Archie. Bye, all.
Bye, everybody.
You know, we were doing this exercise where we were starting a scene, and then we paused, and everybody pointed at who they thought the unusual person was. So I'm doing a scene, we all pause, and everybody points to me, and even I'm like, I raise my hand. And then the teacher asks, why? And my partner goes, 'cause he's loud? And I went, cool, 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 great, 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 great. Not what I was intending. Cool, cool, cool. Great, great, great. That's just who I am.